truth before us.
Yes.
He split time based on the first advent of his son. And so basically that is a fact that we can't deny. It's an undeniable fact that history, the history of the world, not just America, they were counting time like that before America became a nation. And it's still being done that way. And I'm sure that's the work of God.
Oh, yes, so
you can overlook the hype. You got a lot of people giving you hype about various gods and religions and all that kind of thing. But I prefer to listen to Christ himself, who split it down into the same thing I'm saying to you now, that there are two ways of that you can go in the world. He said that he who is not with me is against me. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So you're in one camp or the other. You're either with him or you're against him.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't make any difference what you call yourself if you're not in the camp with him. And just to throw his name in here and there and act as though that you're giving some kind of homage to him without having him at the top of your life,
right,
and realize that he alone is the Savior,
right,
is to really be in the other camp against him.
Amen.
And we see that's what's going on in the world. People want to try to wedge in, especially in our country. Sad to say that our country has turned into a place where so-called political correctness trumps truth, they say. With some people. But won't ever do that with me. So I want y'all to know I might have to preach from the prison or somewhere. And if I do, that's what my life will be. I might have to be like Paul.
Yeah.
If that's what it takes. Because I have to say the truth clearly, because the other people who threaten you to try to muzzle you to stop you from saying the truth, they don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. And I prefer to side with Jesus on that one. He said, he who is ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. When you come before my Father, you know what? You're going to end up there before the Father. Every one of us. And we're going to have to give an account of our life. And he said, if you're ashamed to own me before me, and I'm going to be ashamed to own you. When I think through that one, I think, hey, I need Jesus to say, yeah, that one there, he's a little crazy, Lord, but he ain't all together, but I've covered him with my blood. He's not ashamed of the cross. He's not ashamed of the gospel, you know, and he has confessed me openly before men. See, I need that witness, that testimony before God and his holy angels. I don't know about you, maybe y'all a little bit better off than me. You know, but I need him to say, yeah, that one right there, that little crazy looking one there. Yeah, I know him. He knows me. He's not ashamed of me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's not ashamed of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Amen. He's a Romans 1:16 person. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. But let us move on. I'm going to go right on and get us into this lesson here. Today I know people probably already thinking about what you're going to do after you leave. Hopefully there'll be a couple more degrees of heat in the atmosphere. If not, maybe you can put it in a pot and heat it up in the kitchen or something.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. We're going to move right along here. I've got a good word from the Lord for us today as we continue with our set of lessons. We started a little before the turn of the year. And I want you to have a look today from an Old Testament passage from the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, and also in the New Testament, just to remind the saints once again. That's one thing I always say. Preachers don't really give new information unless there's a new saint in the house, somebody who just recently got saved, a new convert, who may not have studied the word. Most of the time, the saints of God have studied the word, and the word is in their mind.
Yeah.
And what preachers do is remind you what God said.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that's been the case the whole time. All the way back, it's always remind, 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 remind. You'll see so many times the word remember is used.
Right.
In the scriptures, even in the prophetic writings.
Yes.
And so primarily I get the privilege to remind the saints of some of the things God has said as he has established a relationship with you in his life by giving his son and giving you faith to trust that Jesus Christ is your Savior.
Oh, yes, he is.
That's a very special thing.
Yes.
We kind of take it for granted, especially some of us who've been in the church for a long time or any amount of time in our life. But it's a special privilege that God knows you and you know him.
Yes.
And he made that link possible by giving his son, Jesus Christ, and giving you faith to trust and believe in him.
Yeah.
And to believe that he raised him from the dead. Now, I have to go there. Every time I think about the loved ones who've gone on before me or anything like that, I have to rejoice in the fact that Christ defeated the grave.
Yeah.
See, so nothing ended there. It was just a transition. If they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I find comfort in that myself.
Yeah.
You know, every time I think about it, my wife and I were talking this morning about our relationship with our mom, and we thought, well, it would be just wonderful to have one more day with mom, to talk with her, or fix a biscuit with her, or talk with her, or even argue with her, or have her be on my case about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she's already gone, but I just would take, I would trade a lot if I could for one day. You know, but I think about it and I know she's all right.
Yes.
Because Jesus has risen from the grave.
Yeah.
And she trusted in Christ and believed in him. So I have comfort there myself. And the message that we had a little while back, y'all, pardon me while I reminisce just a little.
Yeah.
I was talking about Revelation, where the Bible says it's coming a day when death will be no more. There'll be no more crying. No more dying. No more tears. All that'll be wiped away. I'm expecting God to come with a towel and dry your eyes, and they won't be wet again. There won't be anything else to ever be sad about. No sin, no corruption.
Woo.
Just something we've never seen or understood before in our lives.
Yes.
And then he brings
yes.
in a new heaven and a new earth, he says.
Yeah.
He's going to do it all over because the former things have passed away. And he said, behold, I make all things new. So I get a lot of hope out of that because I believe it.
Yes.
And so if you believe what God has said, then it's always a blessing to you to be reminded of what God said. So as we press on into this new year, I want to, I prepared another message of encouragement for you as we move on, because I can see already, from what I've already seen in this year, the hand of God moving right in here in St. Timothy. You know, we got our very first individual who was in our training program, came over. He's a Rankin student. Just want to mention him. And he is doing an internship with Street Gate Ministries.
Amen.
To hone his skills and get him prepared for, we're expecting his outcome to be fantastic.
All right.
And I had talked with the school sometime back. I just want to share this with you before we get into the word. And told them we wanted to establish a relationship like that with some of their students that are graduating in various trades and programs. And they said, okay, send us a proposal. I have not sent it yet. But just the fact that we want to do it, and since I'm retired now, I'm able to do it, God already set it up where one of their graduates contacted me through another friend and said, oh, I would be very highly interested in that. And we met the young man, and he's going to work out beautifully. We had hoped he could be in attendance today, but apparently he's not yet. But we're praying on him.
Amen.
And praying that God will continue to bless his life. So I wanted to mention that. In addition to what Sister Hope had mentioned a little earlier concerning the children's ministry, we are really ready to roll out with this in full force. And we've been preparing the areas that we already have done some remodeling and stuff in. And so we want you to be ready for that. If you feel compelled to assist in any of these areas, realize that the door is open. It's wide open, and we need people. We can't do everything. We're not trying to do everything. Sometimes people say, make criticisms about many of the things that are done. And I want you to know, every job I have that's not preaching, I want somebody else to do it. Let you know now. And I'm doing it now because I don't have anyone else to do it. But if you can plug in somewhere and take some of those things and get it done yourself, that's what we're trying to do. You know, and I'm trying to duplicate everything. Everybody ought to always be trying to duplicate whatever you do, whatever it is you provide for the body of Christ. You want to try to cultivate someone else who can do what you do in your absence.
Amen.
You know, that's the way the church exists. That's
Amen.
How we've gotten along these 2,000 years.
Amen.
Somebody learning a thing and passing it to someone else all the way down. That's why there's a room full of saints here today
Amen.
Who believe and trust Christ.
Yeah.
And Jesus knew I could start with just 12. All I need is 12.
Right.
And he's been using that 12 multiple times. We'll see that out through as we look into the word. But he takes that 12 and he's able to multiply it again and again, just like he broke up the loaves and the fish and fed the multitudes. And so duplicate yourself. That's the thing you want to do. And pass on. He's always interested in a godly seed, that next generation. You know, because we don't know how long the church has to endure before these things happen that the Lord has promised. But we do see that they're at the door. You know, so we want to make sure we stay in good standing there. But having said all that, let me cut to the chase here now. I'm going to ask the deacons to read from the Old and the New Testament from the book of Joshua. First of all, in chapter number 1, the first 9 verses. And then the final verses in the book of the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 28, and verses 16 to 20. Give your attention to the holy and inerrant Word of God.
Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto the people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant command thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Mm-hmm.
Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
Amen. The Old Testament scripture, the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. Now for the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Matthew.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we thank God, and we're going to speak on a subject this morning of promise of certain success.
Amen.
Promise of certain success. Let us have a word of prayer. Everlasting God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you do, oh God, for the world, and especially for those that are saved, those of the household of faith. And we thank you, Father, that you have called us to be members of the household of faith. We thank you today, God, that you have passed on to us, however you did it, Lord, the knowledge of the gospel of your Son, that whosoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ and believes that you raised him from the dead shall be saved. And so, Father, we just thank you that you have included us in that number. And, Father, we pray for the greatest grace and blessing that you can pour out on us, Lord, and that you would use us in a way that you need for us to do, Lord, that we might be able to be the people that you have called for us to be. Oh, God, you've called us all to walk in the blessing of your promises, Lord. The things that you have promised and that you have shown in the world.
Yes.
Throughout all the ages, that you're able to keep those who trust in your name. And so, Father, we just thank you right now. We pray for ears to hear and a heart to understand what the Spirit saith to the churches. And we give you all the praise and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. We just thank God for promise of certain success. Now, wherever you are in life, I'm able to say just because I see you, that God has prospered you to a certain point already in your life. And he has brought you through whatever it was, any conflicts, trials, difficulties, attacks that were made against you, anything that opposed you in life. has not stopped you because you're here today.
Amen.
Amen. You are still on the path.
Amen.
To the place that God is taking you. That's why I like that thing that was said there in that the thought for the day, that you're on the journey. God will give you grace for the journey. Amen. Sometimes we don't know where the road is going to turn, or what kind of things are going to happen up the road. But God is always there at whatever point we are to give us grace for the journey. He gives us what we need to make it through. Sometimes we can't see where it's coming from. We don't know what's up. There's a lot of mystery in life about how things are going to be tomorrow, how things are going to be next week. We think about what has happened in the past sometimes, obstacles that we have run into, and we wonder about things in the future. And so this is where you can also get a lot of comfort. It's just looking at the history of those that are called by God, those that have been blessed by God throughout the history of the saved, if you will. God has always been saving people all the way from the very beginning.
Amen.
He is a God of salvation.
Yes,
but he doesn't ever force his relationship on anyone. He always makes a way for people to be saved and leaves it up to them. It's a kind of a mystery how God compels you to be saved, because he loves you. And he wants you to be saved, but he doesn't force you to accept his program. See, so that's the thing there. That's why it's kind of a mystery. But the Bible says no man can come to the Father, Jesus said, except the Father draws him. So Father's always drawing us to come to him, you know. But we don't have the ability in our fallen nature to accept God. See, and so that's why God has preachers throughout all the time. Y'all might wonder, what is the use of the preacher? Well, preaching is God's way of giving faith to those who hear his word. And his word is the means by which he saves people.
Yes.
You know, the psalmist said he sent his word and healed them. Remember that? From all their diseases.
Yes.
He sent his word. It's the word of God that has the power. It was the word of God that created all things. God spoke and things came into existence that never existed before. So it's always by his word, and it's the preached word that conveys faith to those who hear it. That's why Romans 10 and 17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so that's why you see successions of prophets and priests and teachers from God throughout the word of God. Now, we're looking at a particular time here, and I wanted to zoom in on this because this is one of my favorite times in redemptive history. This is a glimpse of the time when Moses, the servant of the Lord, had just died, and now God speaks to Joshua. His minister, it says here in this text. In other words, Joshua was one of those who was helping with things that Moses needed to do. He was a faithful one out of 12 that went to spy out the land, if you remember that. There was only him and Caleb who had faith. 10 came back with a bad report. Oh, Lord, we can't go over there. There's giants in the land. Or they'll swallow us up if we go in there. You know, and Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to take the land, because they had trust and they had faith in God. Now, we know Moses, his whole life, we don't have time to talk about it all, but just to put it in a nutshell, there were three periods of 40 years in the life of Moses. From his birth, when he was threatened to be destroyed by the king, and his mother protected him by floating him in a basket in the reeds, and Pharaoh's own daughter went and got him out of the basket and adopted him to be her own, took him and raised him right next to the man who put the edict out to kill all the Hebrews. You see, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, the Bible says. You know, even though he was raised there, then he hired his mother and his sister to tend to him and nurse him and raise him up. So he still had that connection, because his mother was a lady of faith, Jochebed, that you've heard about. And it was Amram, his father. They were faithful people who had trusted God throughout their lives. And so Moses was raised separated from his family, but he still maintained a connection in the way he lived his life through the Hebrew people. And he had a respect for the Hebrew people. That's why he murdered the Egyptian that was striving with a Hebrew. And then, of course, that from that point in his life, he went into exile for 40 years.
Yeah.
So 40 years after he had murdered an Egyptian, he knew that was wrong. He fled from justice, went into the land of Midian, and stayed for 40 more years.
Yes.
There in Midian, he didn't realize. See, that's the thing I say about the journey. God likes to help you along the journey, but you don't ever know. I don't think Moses planned any of that. The way it went down, it just felt right that I should do this way. And he did what he did, and God directed him. But little did he know he would meet his his wife there in the 40 years of exile while he was there in Midian, tending to Jethro the priest's flocks on the backside of the desert. And so Moses got married, had children, was tending Jethro's flocks, all was good. He said, I got away from that problem I had back there in Egypt. And next thing you know, God commissions him to send him back at the age of 80 to go back and tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. All the rest of the Hebrews were still there enslaved in the land of Goshen. They're in Egypt, in northern Egypt. And so basically, we know the story. God speaks to Moses from the burning bush, sends him back to go and confront the Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go. And then that next 40 years is the last 40 years of the life of Moses, from the time of his confrontation with the Pharaoh to the deliverance of the people of God through the Red Sea on dry land, which was God's prophecy. And of course, in between there were 10 plagues that he smote the Egyptians with because of their unbelief. That's just kind of a quick nutshell synopsis. And so Moses himself, at the end of that, is now 100, and he's 120 years old, three sets of 40, and he disobeys God at the end of it and smites the rock instead of speaking to it so it could produce water for the children of Israel. And so God said, because of that, Moses, you shall not enter into the promised land, but I'll take you up to the mountain so you can see it. So he let him look over into the promised land. And so what happens, the Bible says Moses died, God buried him, it says there in the book of Deuteronomy at the end of the book. That's the end of the five books that Moses wrote, the book of Deuteronomy. At one time, Genesis to Deuteronomy was the entire Bible. See, the book of the law, that's why it's revered so much even today. So that was really a quick jet tour on the life of Moses. And so what God does now is he speaks to Joshua, who was one of two of the spies that were sent out who had faith and trusted what God said. There were 10 who did not trust what God said. They did not have faith. And so now the mantle is being passed to Joshua, the son of Nun, as he is called here. Now, the verse 1 says, this is after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land that I do give them, even the children of Israel. Now, by this time, God has multiplied the seed of Abraham in the land of Goshen. They have become millions. And he's telling them now, they've already crossed over the Red Sea. Now he's saying, cross the Jordan, move on into the promised land here. Every place, notice the God's promise here. This is what I want you to see. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He said, the promises I made, they're still good. Yes. Understand that. Anything I ever promise you is still good. Amen. Think about that. God has a lot of promises that he has made to me and you that are still good. Sometimes we forget about it. When we're going through a valley or through some kind of trouble, we forget about some of the stuff God promised. But it's still good. And it doesn't make any difference who else is going with us on the journey. The promises that God made to you are still good. See, so you can say the Lord's promises are still good to me. You know, you ought to just say that in your mind. That whatever God promised me is for me. You know what? Nothing on earth can stop the things that God has promised you from coming to you. There isn't anything. Tornadoes, floods, storms, sickness, disease, death. Nothing can stop what God has for you. It's coming to you. It's a certain thing from God. If God has promised to you, somebody wrote a song, what God has for me, it is for me. See? And you will receive it. So you don't have to worry about it. That's why he said you have to have patience. Those that wait upon the Lord, as we said in our prayer, shall renew their strength. See? So sometimes it's necessary not to be anxious. Paul said that, didn't he? To the Philippians, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, keep your communication with God up to speed where it needs to be. See? Don't ever doubt God. God is going to do everything that he promised. He's not going to come short of his word, like the songwriter said. He never, ever comes short of his word. You see? And what did the songwriter say there? I got to fast and pray. I'm just going to continue to seek his face and stay in the narrow way, because God has given me a way to move forward on his promises. So he's saying this to Joshua here, and he told him the same thing. You know what? This promise is old. This goes back to Abraham. God told Abraham, I'm giving you the land all the way from the sea, the great sea, to the river Euphrates.
Yes.
And yet they did not go in and embrace the land. You know, they didn't move in and take over all the land to the river Euphrates. You know where that will put you today? Put you right over in Iraq, in Iran. The Jews have never occupied all that land. So what does that mean? That means it doesn't mean they're not going to get it. Absolutely not. That's what the trouble in the Middle East that we talked about today, centering around Israel, which is a tiny little piece of real estate about the size of New Jersey, has the whole world in tension right now. Because God has promises that, or certain promises that will succeed, that cannot fail, pertaining to the covenant people, Israel. So he speaks here to Joshua along the way. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, and I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, when he said to Moses, Moses, keep in mind, wrote down everything God said to Abraham. He wrote all the promises that God had given Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The history of it was given to Moses from God in the book of the law. And so he's telling him, that's all good. I like to put it in modern language, like, oh, it's all good. Yes, for everything God promised you, it's all good. You can count on it. God is never going to come short. But why didn't these people ever progress into those things that God promised? That's what we need to talk about. Because I want you to know, why is it that they have never had all that land that God promised them? Is it that God has come short of his promise? No, absolutely not. You know what stops us from moving forward in God? Unbelief. You know, and we're not faithful to attain and hold on to those things that God has promised. If God promised it, you ought to just put it in the bank right now. Don't say, well, you know, and start kind of trying to have a pity party and worried about different stuff. Oh, well, you know. And sometimes we gripe and bellyache and complain and all that. And the word clearly tells us, do all things without grumbling and complaining. We love to grumble and complain. We love to find fault with a bunch of stuff. And we love to break it down and talk about all what isn't and oh, how it's going. And well, we like to blame the government and we like to do all kinds of stuff. But you know what? We got to stop that. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen. That's what the word says. You see, and they are just as certain as the rising of the sun and the going down of the same. Everything God told you, he is well able to perform. So what God did was he reaffirmed his promises for Abraham and to his seed, to Moses. God did that. He reaffirmed to Joshua now the promises that he had made to Abraham and his seed, to Moses, which Moses wrote in the book of the law, the servant of the Lord, and upon his death, the same things he said to Joshua as he passed the mantle of faith from one leader to the next in charge. And it was reiterated as promises of certain success with the contingency of the continual development of good success, God said. He said, if you meditate in these words that I've given you in the law of the Lord, day and night, he said, never let them depart from out of your mouth. In other words, don't start saying what the world says about your situation. Don't start saying what your unbelieving friends say about your situation. Don't start giving up on what God has said. Keep his word in your mind. Keep it coming out of your mouth. When somebody says something to you that contradicts God's word, you speak the word. See, that's why Paul said the same thing to Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant. In season and out of season. Don't let the philosophy of the culture invade your mind and steal something from you that God has promised. If God promised it, you can take it to the bank. So he gives Joshua very good advice here as we look again. He says, he told him, this is all the promises that I've given you. He says, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even over to the great river, the river Euphrates, into the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun. That's the Mediterranean Sea, we would say today. He says, that shall be your coast. You see, and they never ever had all that land at any time. You know what they're going to? That's a news flash. That's why you got all those evil cousins over there making nuclear weapons and all that right now. They think they're going to stop it. You know, they think, oh, we know what it said, but we're going to stop that. We ain't not going to allow that. A lot of people thought they could stop what God was doing throughout history. King, the Pharaoh in Egypt thought, I could stop it. Let's just get rid of all the male seed. kill the male children while they're on the birth stools. He sent out an edict. You know what? But God protected Moses and brought him right through that whole thing. And the people of God continued to multiply. You see? And then when there rose another king that did not know Joseph, the Bible says, you know, over there in the book of Genesis, he said, hey, look how many of them there are in here. You know, if we don't get rid of them, boy, if our enemies ever come in, that's what we got going on in America now. Right. America's worried because we dismissed God 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Told him, we don't need you no more. We got money, we got wealth, we got power. You know, we have communications. We have television, we have radio, we have refrigeration. We have auto transportation. We have the best fleet and army in the history of the world. And we have weapons of mass destruction. And we're all bad and almighty. We don't need God anymore. We told God, get out of our life. And so you know what God said? Okay, I'm a gentleman. I back away. I leave you alone. And now what we're seeing in our streets and around our neighborhoods is the backlash of a culture that does not know God. Which told God, get going. We don't want your Bible. You know, we want all these other gods to come in and give them equal place. And you want to know what's the problem? You think signs, Black Lives Matter, that's going to fix it? No. You think we must stop killing each other, that's going to fix it? No. The problem is you dismiss God. And God says, okay, protect yourself. Now your enemies might subdue you. You just don't know. You know what? September 11th didn't happen till we dismissed God. And now we're worried about terrorism and where are they going to come in and what are they going to do next, and are there homegrown terrorists in our country?
Yeah.
And we don't know. We told God we don't need your protection as a country. Not us as an individual.
Amen.
Not the church that really understands the truth. Mm-hmm. Not the people of God who are not listening to the philosophies of this culture and of the false religionists that get all on the TV and hold big conferences and marches and all that kind of stuff and try to have equal place to where the truth belongs.
Yeah.
There's a remnant of people who believe exactly what God said.
Yeah.
They trust in the certainty of the promises of God. They rely on God for their success. And they will not take a cheap imitation and they will not compromise. The people who really love God won't compromise the truth. I would rather you throw me into jail or exile me from the country than for me to compromise the truth. You know, so political correctness, hit the door. I throw you out. You can't throw God out. God is here to stay. The word of God is true, and it cannot fail. And the promises of God are certain. And if you meditate in them day and night, you will have good success. Let's look what God said here as he spoke to Joshua. Now, they're going into a foreign land filled with people who hate them. But God has already given them ample time to get their act together. That's what the word tells you. I wish we had time to show you that today. But time is short, so we won't get into it. But in either case, notice what he says here. He says there, verse number 5, Joshua 1 and 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God says you stand up, nobody can stand before you. Did you know that? You believe that? You know what, we cower sometimes because we don't really believe that. We think, oh boy, if I stand up and say this, oh, who knows, they're going to be offended. But God says, no, I'll be with you and no man will be able to withstand you. Period. But I will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong. You need to be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. You're going to split this land up between this people who believe me and walk with me, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong. He keeps saying that. You know what? That's what I'm saying to you. Be strong. Stand up on the truth. Don't let somebody back you down because God says they won't be able to withstand you.
Right.
I'm going to be with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there on your left and on your right. Goodness and mercy is going to be behind you.
Yeah.
Following you all the days of your life.
Wow.
Be strong and be very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the left or to the right or to the left. That thou mayest prosper. See that? There's prosperity attached to it.
Amen.
Whithersoever thou goest, anywhere you go, prosperity will be with you.
Yes.
He says, this book of the law, speaking of the word, that was the entire Bible at the time when Joshua was getting this message. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. and thou that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you don't push my word out, keep it in your mind and in your mouth, your way will be prosperous. That's a promise of certain success for all those who trust God. See, well, that's what we need. I'm a little put out with some of the wimp stuff that I hear today, where people don't have the gall to say the truth. They don't have the gall to say the truth. Well, we got to make it politically correct. No, we don't. Who on the political correct team has anything for you? Who has anything for you? Who can promise you things and deliver other than God? Why should you listen to them? Why do you care what they think? Why do you care what they say? Why do you care what laws they make? Which law is important to you, God's or theirs? Who are you going to answer to when you stand in the presence of the Most High? See, not going to be any of them. Well, they're going to be grabbing the straws when they get there. But it doesn't have to be you. Because God has made you a promise of certain success if you meditate in my law day and night. The psalmist said the same thing, right? Generations from Joshua, you had David say that he said that the blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water to bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So you have a choice. You can stand in the truth and keep it in your mouth, keep it in your mind. Don't let stuff the world is saying influence how you feel about anything you're doing or where you're going or what I should do in ministry or any of that. You know, we're all called to do ministry. Every single one, from the children on up to the oldest person here. I don't know who that is, might be me. But I'm not going to worry about it. But in either case, everybody is called to minister to the culture. Amen. See, because God wants all people to be saved. Yeah. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're not too ugly. None of that. Well, I see people have sink in on that one. Take a minute here. But you have what you need. God has equipped you to take a stand for him. And notice what he says here as we move along. He says here, moving on, he says, have I not commanded thee? Who told you to do this? Who gave you these instructions? Who said meditate in my law day and night? Who said I'll be with you always and I'll never leave you nor forsake you? See, who is he? He says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong. Here it is again. He's saying to him again, the third, I think it's at least the third time, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Sometimes it's a little scary to say the hard truth. Yes, yes, it is. You're up, somebody going to go, you got a lot of nerve, huh? You know, they're going to come all down, boy, I tell you, they can make a ugly face. You put the truth out there. Who do you think you are? What are you saying? You know, what school did you go to? They may come with anything. You just don't know. You know, when you say the truth. But we speak the truth in love. No matter how it hits you, if you're on the wrong side of it, I'm not helping you if I don't tell you the truth. How am I helping you if I let you keep on where you are? And I'm not telling you to hurt you. If I say something to you, I'm telling you to bless you because it's the word of God. So he says that. Now notice that. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God says, I'm going to be with you in everything that you have to deal with. You don't have to worry about it. So this is the thing I want you to see here, that when we keep that in our mind, keep the law of God in our mind, basically it's going to be a blessing. Let it continually be coming out of our mouth. Yes. Don't go to the left nor to the right. He says, stay right on the King's highway. Yes. You know, the internal environment of the human mind is the battlefield in which war is waged against the soul. Yes. Did you know that? The battle is in your mind.
That's
That's why Peter said, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul.
Yes.
That happens in the mind, the desire of the flesh.
Yes.
And it produces fallen, godless impulses to work evil within the thoughts of an individual, which if obeyed by the body, you know, when you have those wretched thoughts in your mind, if the body obeys it, the actions thereof produce sin. However, if the Holy Spirit is within the same person, he will prompt you to overrule the negative godless impulses and direct the body to do that which glorifies God.
Yes.
Instead. Yes. And sometimes you and I, that's where we lose the battle, is in the mind.
Right.
You know, dealing with impulses and lust and
yes.
desires and things that the culture around you are trying to say is okay.
Yes.
They're trying to give license to all these things. See? You know what? And the war is in your mind,
yes.
if you get sucked into it or not. And that's why you need to have a word in your mind.
Yes.
And you need to meditate in it day and night.
Yes.
You know, and do those things that God has promised. That number two on your list there is very important. And so I want you to think about that. But now think about this. And we're almost done. In Matthew 28, Judas already has checked out. And there's only 11. You know, I talked about the 12. One of them is checked out, committed suicide. He let the devil get in his head.
Yeah.
And he couldn't handle it. He didn't even realize it. This one who you betrayed, he'll still forgive you.
Yeah.
That's what he's been preaching the whole time, the 3.5 years.
Yeah.
But instead of believing Christ, what did you do? You believe the devil. The devil said, you ain't no good. Look what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Just get it over with. And Judas went out and committed suicide. Guilt himself. Listen to the devil. He lost a war in his mind. He had been with the risen one who was able to forgive anyone. He forgave a thief on the cross and a murderer right next to him. He said, today shalt you be with me in paradise. You know, but Judas listened to Satan and took himself out because he lost the battle in his own mind. So this text says that there are only 11 now to experience the resurrection. And it says, the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He has risen from the dead now. Now the 11 go to meet him where he told them to go meet them in the mountain. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. I love that that's in there. A lot of times we have doubts about things that we read and we know is right. Does that mean you're lost? No. Some of that 11 doubted. They had doubts in their mind. It's okay to doubt, but pray on it.
Yes.
Seek the word. Seek advice from godly people. If there's stuff you doubt, okay, of what God said. These people saw the risen Christ, and they still had doubt. You know what? They saw him crucified. They saw him pierced through with a sword. They saw blood and water run down. But most of them didn't see it. John saw most of that, because they all went and hid. But they knew what was going on. And they still doubted, even though Jesus had gotten out of the grave. Wow. That's something to me. I love that that's there. That means when I'm struggling with some stuff God said, it's not so bad. Think about it, because God's going to bring you through. You always trust God, even when you're struggling with doubt. He said in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. God will reason with you about something tough for you to understand. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson. They shall be as white as wool. God says, I'm still going to cleanse you, even though you got fears and doubts. So it's a good thing that that's there. I love it in Matthew 28. Now notice what it says here. Even though some doubted, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, all of you, even the doubters, therefore, and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's a big thing. That's what we call the Great Commission. You and I are to go into all the world. That means everybody, everywhere. There's no one excluded. I don't care if they say it's politically incorrect for you to tell your Muslim friend they need to repent and trust Jesus Christ. You better tell them.
Amen.
It's politically incorrect for you to tell your homosexual friend that homosexuality is a sin and God will forgive you. Wow. Wow. It's politically incorrect, but it's what God said. You know, so you and I need to think about it. It's going to take a measure of audacity on your part to be obedient to what God said. That's why he said, go ye there into all the world and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them. See how much teaching is important?
them to observe all things. That's that law of the Lord, day and night. Whatsoever I've commanded you. And Jesus says the same thing God said to Joshua. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So how long does the duration of the ministry of the church last? Until the trumpet sounds. So God's promises of certain success is still available to each and every one, because God has given his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to all who believe in him as payment for all their sins in all of time, which ensures that all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Amen. So you can count on what God said. All the promises of God in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. So whatever he promised you, he is well able to hold against that day. We're going to close with this, and we're about done. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 18, but as God is true, Paul says, writing to the church of Corinth, our word toward you was not yea and nay. It's not ambiguous yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, that's two more generations of preachers now from Paul, he says, was not yea and nay. It was not yes and no, but in him always yes, in Christ. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you is Christ, who and hath anointed us is God. God is the one who sends us on that mission, you see. And so I just want to say, be of good courage, be strong. You don't have to be ignorant or foolish or any of that, or you don't have to be any way negative whatsoever, but be able and willing to speak the truth and be strong and be of good courage, because God wants to bless everyone. And he's made one way to do that, and that is by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we might be confrontational if we meditate in the law of the Lord day and night and never let his word depart from our mouths. So if anyone is here today that is not saved, we want to give you that invitation, first of all, because God wants you to be saved. He loves you. He paid the great expense of giving his Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. No matter what you're dealing with, what you're going through, he's able to save you.
Yes, he is.
And he desires your salvation that much. That's how much he loves you. See, when we think about it, the cross is an awesome place. Because it shows the ugly side of man, how ugly man is, what man would do. Man would take God, find him guilty, nail him to a tree. That's how twisted our judgment is. But on the other side of it is the righteousness of God, the love of God. It shows you, I love you this much, I would suffer that, because I already knew what sin would do. I already knew it, and I anticipated it, and it cost a human soul to pay the price, because it was one human soul that caused the problem. In Adam, we all die. In Christ, all can be made alive, and all will be made alive, whether right or wrong. The only thing is, in between time, who will accept the free gift and trust Christ to be their Savior? See, that's the issue at hand. All who believe in him, the Bible says, will not perish, will have everlasting life. The ones who reject him, they'll be sorry later, if they're not sorry now. I was talking with Brother Tate, and I'm going to shut my mouth because I always have too much to say. But we were talking about a famous atheist, if you can get away with that, that says that there is no God. And this famous atheist is on TV, and he transmits mockery against the truth all the time. And I'm sure he doesn't mind if his name is spoken in this service. His name is Mr. Bill Maher. He would like to be known as the famous atheist. But people like that, I pray for. You know, he would say, well, don't pray for me, because it don't mean nothing. And he has that kind of attitude he has. But that just shows you can get a lot of stuff. But you know what? The casket ends it all. That's why Jesus said, what would a man be profited if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Matthew 16 and 26. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, you can have stuff stacked up to heaven, and it won't get you right with God. Remember the rich fool? He said, fool, this night, don't you know your soul is required of you? You're going to tear down your barns and build bigger barns and stack up more stuff. Stacking up stuff doesn't make you right with God. It's not bad to have stuff. God wants his people to have plenty. We need plenty to get his word out to the world. And he doesn't mind if you have it, but he wants you to have the stuff. He doesn't want the stuff to have you.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
So we're stewards of the things God gives us. But I was just thinking about him, because people like that need prayer. Now, he probably wouldn't receive it. He'll probably be most offended. This may be a sound bite that gets on TV one day. Who knows? I don't know. And if it does, I'm ready to defend what I said.
Amen.
Because it's what God said in his word. So people like that, I do pray for. I pray for folks who openly reject the truth.
Yes.
You know, and so that's what we ought to do. We see that there are none, but yet there's room. If there's anyone that would like to become a member of St. Timothy MB Church, we'd like to give you that opportunity as well. Our doors are open. We roll out the red carpet for you. We do have stuff for you to do, and we can put you to work immediately, wherever you are, because we have a lot of work to do, especially this year. And I'm thankful to see that God's hand has moved in this year, and that we're already on the move. So we expect to see some great things here. You know, and I don't doubt what God said at all. You know, I'm not saying I'm necessarily, that doesn't mean I'm in compliance with everything God said either. You know, because I'm kind of in that group like those 11. They were probably blown away. Wow, nobody ever did that. You know, get up out the grave and say, all power is given to me. You know, and man had dealt out all of that he could, Satan and everybody else. That's it. We did everything to get rid of you. We hate you. And he got up, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. No one else could ever do that. Has never ever done that again. See? So don't come tell me about Confucius. I'm sorry. You didn't get out the grave. Don't want to hear about it. We have done as God command. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. Amen. So we thank you for your attention to the message today.